All right, let me confirm. Jed, are you back with us?
I am.
All righty. Welcome to the MediaBits Power Hour, an educational teleseminar, an opportunity to work together with Jed and myself with advertising sales leaders from around the world. Whether you're focused on your print, your website digital side, your e-newsletter, we're here to talk about the tools, the resources, the strategies that will help you and your sales team win. Whenever we begin our programs, we always talk about sort of clearing the space. Close your office door. See if you can find a window to really be fully present, be able to listen to the things that we're sharing. All of our teleseminars are very fast-paced, but the things that we're doing here will give you tools, resources, and knowledge to be able to help you drive more ad sales literally immediately upon the conclusion of the work that we're doing here. We're always going to encourage you to make your notes. We have four specific points we're going to be covering today. We're going to be talking about comparing SEO versus pay-per-click, ad agencies, ad buyers, and the more notes you take and the more notes you make, the more we're going to transfer and infuse the knowledge. It's the coach and coaching approach that has worked so successful for our clients in 11 time zones globally that the very best in adult education says make your notes, and as you're making the notes, the learning is happening on your end, which is why it's never an accident. We don't put something up on the screen. We don't want to distract you and be many-tasking or multitasking. We're also more than happy to field your questions during the course of our educational program here today. Just simply hit reply to the confirmation that brought you here or send a quick email to ernest@powerhour.com. With me is Jed, the CEO and founder of MediaBids. And Jed, I always love hearing what's cooking in your world, what's happening with your team, what's your take out across the media intergalactic landscape. Tell us what's cooking, man.
All right. Well, first of all, thanks, Ernest. Ernest has an enormous amount of knowledge about all things publishing, so I always learn a lot, and I hope you will too. Thank you all for joining us. My name is Jed Gould. I'm the president of MediaBids, and we are a company that is devoted to driving revenue to publications. We deal primarily with print ads, and we track everything that we do. We have about 10,000 phone numbers in use at any given time. And we track the results of ads all around the country. So we primarily work with national advertisers. One of the things we've been working on recently is focusing more on local advertisers. And so that's something that maybe we'll do a teleseminar on in the future. But it's trying to better understand the response rates for local advertisers as well as what we typically do national. We'd love to work with you. We'd love to talk to you about how we can drive more revenue to your publication from advertisers who are not currently buying print, and even just talk to you about what we've learned about print and what we've learned about print advertising as a result of tracking tens of thousands of ads. And in a nutshell, what we've learned is that print generates some of the highest quality customers that there are. The close rate, meaning the number of people who respond to an ad versus the number of people who actually buy, is higher in print than it is in any other medium. We also know that the customers who buy as a result of a print ad tend to buy more, tend to become better long-term customers for virtually any business. That's true for flower companies. It's true for services like Dish Network and DirecTV. The people who are buying through print are their best customers. So as a result, we believe that print has a really compelling story to tell, and we believe that there are a lot of opportunities out there that can be where that print publication can take advantage of. So that's sort of the angle that we're coming at the current media world from. And you know, again, we'd love to talk to you about more about what we do and more about what we've learned.
Mm-hmm. And certainly, Jed, I know not only do you have a wealth of knowledge and insight, but as I've listened to you over the years, over the last 10-plus years that we've been rolling along with these, you have insight that is so unique. The ability to understand exactly what's happening with that direct response coming in by the phone lines and the phone calls that attract millions of inbound calls, to know exactly what's happening with the advertisers. And when you listen to Jed talk about the stats, the data, the results, it is compelling. And I have never heard anywhere anybody talk about the kind of data, the stats, and the knowledge you have about ad sales, ad results, and ad performance. It is amazing. So to each of you and all of you, stay tuned. Jed, I know, also has in the goodie bag some upcoming opportunities that he's going to share more about this as well. The very least, those of you who are already working with MediaBids, you know what they bring. For those of you that don't, go to the MediaBids site, take a look at what they've got cooking, reach out to Jed and their team, and you will love the additional revenue and the insight that they bring to you and for you. And my name is Ernest Orienti. My company is Power Hour. I've been involved in the advertising sales industry since 1986. I've launched three of my own publications. I was a leader in a $1 billion media group, and we launched Power Hour in 1995, having worked with now more than 2,000 advertising sales companies and their teams in 11 time zones all over the world for the last 21 years. Jed, you often hear me say at the very beginning, I like hot kitchens. Not because I like to cook too, but I like hot kitchens. It means those that we work with and the teams we work with have big challenges, big opportunities, big dreams. The larger your dreams or the more difficult the challenges, those of you, that's who we love working with. One of the pieces that we're most proud of is about 5 years ago, we launched a weekly advertising sales academy. Every Monday, you get a audio message and other tools, materials, attached files, templates, and we step you through the strategies to help you win on the advertising sales side. And whether we are talking about the 19 steps that go into a powerful media kit, the 26 business development strategies, negotiating principles, it's all there for you every single Tuesday. Come join us. Go to powerhour.com, and you'll find the information that is there for you. So, Jed, we've been talking about this conversation about Google and search engine optimization and Google paid AdWords on the other side. And we're sort of today, as we were getting settled in and talking about our conversation and preparing for our teleseminar today, we were talking about sort of the genesis of this subject, right? Because, number one, all of you and all of us have websites that we want our readers to find it, our ad agencies to find it, our ad buyers to find it. All of those things matter, right? So the work that we do to market our own website, we sort of have to drink our own Kool-Aid. In other words, if we're going to be out in the media space and we're focused on RV dealers or realtors or apartments or automotive or flower shops or, you know, dog biscuits, whatever it is we're out there doing in our media space, we've got to pay attention to what's happening on the search engine side. We also want to, in some cases, also be paying attention to what's happening on the pay-per-click side, because maybe we are buying it. That's one dimension. Like the double word in Scrabble, though, there's the other dimension. And the other dimension is, what in the world's going on the other side? What are ad agencies thinking about? Not only our site, but what are they out doing with the sites of their of the very advertisers we're trying to sell? And then what are our key buyers doing as they think about their own websites and their own strategies related to search engine optimization or pay-per-click on the other side? So this is a two-dimensional conversation. So as we're kind of walking through and talking about the strategies, we want all of you thinking about, you know, your own site, your own work internally, and then the other side, what's happening on the other side of the world when you go into a sales presentation or an ad agency and they say, well, that's great that you're doing all those things, but we already take care of our own social media. We already have our own marketing engine. We already have our own conversion. We already have our own fill-in-the-blank, okay? You know, Jed, you go back into sort of, I always like to reflect back in the early days of media, you know, a newspaper, a magazine, a business publication, all of those. In those days, when you came into a meeting, you were a bit of an honored guest because you had gone out and found the readers. You had maybe paid for editorial for the, you know, we realize we have those of you that have marketing messages that have no editorial, but for those of you with the editorial, you had the editorial combined. You had paid or free or controlled circ. You had done all of this work, and you were an honored guest, meaning that you were an important channel. Today, there are an infinite number of channels, and at times it feels like that message has been diluted, including advertisers literally saying, I do it myself. Jed, I know that we can pause and reflect for a moment. Going back, those were kind of different days, weren't they?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I mean, one of the things that's really changed is that, you know, almost every medium, you know, every online advertising opportunity is really a self-serve opportunity. I mean, Google, to use, you know, the biggest example, they it's very easy to set up your own AdWords account now. You know, to optimize it and to make sure it's working correctly, you know, is a little trickier. But in terms of just getting it going, you know, it's really a simple thing to do. So it really lends itself to people who want to try to do it themselves. You know, I remember when Google first started with AdWords. It was over Christmas when I kind of first discovered it, and I put in keywords. I must have put in, you know, about 700 keywords, you know, and I just was so excited. I just thought it was so cool. And over the course of the long Christmas weekend, I think I had spent about $2,000 on clicks. And I don't think we got any customers out of it, you know, but you were excited, man.
Well,
it's riveting, right? It's riveting because you're putting in these keywords. You can see the results immediately. You know, you're only spending money if something happens. I mean, there's really a compelling sales approach there. So, so it's not surprising that most of the people that you talk to feel like they can do it themselves. Now, whether they
exactly
really can is a different question.
That's right. And we have a couple of visuals we'll talk about during the course of today. But Jed, to your point, we have the visual of this. It's, you know, playing digital, playing on the web, working around the Google sandbox. And actually, let's step back just for a second. You know, in the earliest days of paying attention to what's happening in Google, we had Google out there, we had Yahoo, and frankly, Yahoo had, you know, really strong force. Look where Yahoo is today, sort of decimated, really struggling. They're either going to sell it whole or break it up in pieces. It's been all over the news. We had MSN in those days, you know, generated by all the activity by Microsoft, you know, and their algorithms on that side, you know, and then MSN becomes Bing, and then Bing now is in a 10-year agreement to fuel all the algorithms for Yahoo, you know, so everything, and yet at this moment, Bing or Yahoo, the same, would generate the same searches now, the same search results, same search rankings. The truth is that they're only controlling about 10 or 15% of the market, you know, so we really are talking about, Google and their sandbox, and the visual that we like to describe, Jed, on this is, it's like a surfer riding a wave into the beach. You know, the wave keeps getting taller, the beach keeps getting closer, and the rocks keep getting sharper, right?
Right.
In other words,
right.
You know, you don't just go out on a weekend and go buy up, you know, 500 keywords any longer. It's gotten a lot more complex. The bidding is more intense. The dollars are more significant, and everything about it continues to mature and more challenging. I'll field a quick question, by the way, about the some of you that sent a couple of notes about the days of being honored. You know, I remember, Jed, the reading about Malcolm Forbes, right, in Forbes magazine, you know, and him being invited to, you know, castles with kings and queens and balloon tours over Europe that he was hosting, you know, for advertisers. There was that heyday. So for those of you that have shared the story or have a recollection of that, it was a heyday. It was truly amazing. But let's talk about some of these pieces. And the first point that we really said that we were going to talk about is this SEO piece, being found in Google AdWords and sort of the differences, and then really talking a little bit about the impact, you know, of the, what agencies are thinking about and buyers are. And so let's just start from the side of that, you know, through your website, we're not yet talking about advertisers on the other side or agencies, but through your website, you earn your search rankings. We sometimes like the visual of it's like throwing, you know, grapes in a jar. You don't just say, wow, that's wine. No, you got to do the work. You got to give it the love in order to earn the authoritative rankings that you deserve to be where you are in terms of your website. And always the comment that, you know, quantity versus quality. You could have 200 pages out running a website with 20,000 pages, and inverse, you could be at 20,000 pages just absolutely, you know, towering over everybody else if you do it well. And that you're going to hear that as a reoccurring theme. That also goes for your advertisers, and we'll come back to that. So you earn your rankings over time with Google, but you must stay current with Google. Ever since the embarrassment, Google was embarrassed in January of 2011. There was a very large named retailer in the winter of 2010 that did all kinds of black hat strategies, got incredible placement, had a fabulous fourth quarter, and the New York Times outed them in January. All that they had done, all that they did, and it embarrassed the co-founders of Google. Ever since 2011, the rollout of Penguin and Panda and Pelican and all the versions of the algorithms that have rolled out every May and June since then have eliminated or intended to eliminate black hat strategies, and that has been the biggest challenge with Google and their ongoing changes of their algorithm. It's been said that they make 300 to 500 smaller changes over the course of any given year, but they positively make very big, significant ones every May and June. And if you and your company are not staying current on this and watching every 30 days what you're doing, then quite honestly, you assume you're doing well, but in fact, you're not. Okay, a little comment about this as well. If you do searches for yourself or competitors and you're signed into a Google product like Gmail, you will get one set of searches. If you sign out of it, you will get another. And that's Google watching what you're searching for and your clicks as well. So just recognize that from that perspective. So, Jed, as we know, Google is sort of the elephant in the room, and we kind of have to dance a little bit around them from our own media websites, correct?
Yeah, I mean, there's really no way around it. They, they control the search market. So, having a successful website means navigating some of their intricacies.
Mm-hmm. And it's important because they set the rules, they move the sandbox, we have to do what? Move with it. For example, last year, it was all about Mobilegeddon. And it was very interesting. It's one of the first declarations that they formally set out that said, on April 21st, 2015, we are giving more credit and better rankings and increased visibility to sites that are mobile-friendly and mobile-responsive, period. And there have not been a lot of signals from Google. You have to almost reverse engineer and do a lot of testing and a lot of watching to see what, as you make changes, what happens. Now, let's cross over just for a second to advertisers. You walk in to go sell an ad to a law firm, and they want to tell you how well they're doing. And it may be true 90 days ago they were, but it may not be true today, or vice versa. And if you don't know where they stand and where and what they are doing, you might click on their social icon for Twitter and see there's not been a single tweet in 2 years. And they want to tell you that they have a full-time social media director that's handling all of that. And if you don't know that it's not being handled and you don't bring it to their attention, then there's the assumption quietly that everything's in place. Why do I need you to sell me an ad? Thank you very much. Hat in hand, you walk out the door. Which is categorically not the case. So again, today's conversation, like the double word in Scrabble, you've got to pay attention to Homebase, your website, and the flip side, you're paying attention to what's happening with your advertisers or your prospective advertisers and or the agency work that's being done along the way. Let's continue. Pay-per-click, sometimes also called Google AdWords, sometimes called SEM, search engine marketing on the other side. pay-per-click and Google AdWords, you can buy a campaign. You don't have to earn it like you do with search engine optimization. You can buy a campaign and be up in 24 hours or less. Yet, it continues to be more and more competitive. Jed, more recently, instead of having three paid ads at the top, well, I should go back for a second. Those paid ads used to be, do you remember the days when they were like in that fuchsia pink, Jed?
Right. Yep.
Right? Fuchsia. And it was noticeable. Here's the pink, and then the rest was the organic, right? And then the pink, what happened to it? It went further and further and further away until they got in trouble with what? The FTC. And now you have to put the word ad to the left. That's what happened, okay? And then up until about 90 days ago, Jed, it was three ads at the top, another what? 5 to 10 going down the right-hand side. So if you looked at a page, you could see in the middle the top three, and then to the right another top three or four. So there was more pieces of real estate. Today, what has happened? Three at the top, nothing on the right, three at the bottom. Okay, what just happened? The real estate changed. Well, all of a sudden, it's like coming up to an intersection and saying, wow, wasn't there a Burger King on that corner? Nope, sorry, bulldozed, gone. There's only two corners. That's a dirt field. That's what Google has actually done. And it's this perpetual change. And so because of that on the pay-per-click side, it's become what? More competitive. In the old days, 90 days ago, you could be in the fourth spot or the fifth spot, which technically meant the first and second to the right. Now, fourth and fifth mean you're at the bottom. So a person's got to go through the three paid at the top, three map listings, 10 organic, all the way to the bottom to find an ad. That, again, remember, think about this through your filter. Do you, for your company, buy paid clicks from Google? Think about it back through the filter of your advertisers. If you don't know what's happening with these trends, you cannot walk into agencies or key ad buyers and be knowledgeable. And if you're not knowledgeable, you will not win. They're asking you to be the guide. We have to stay current with the media world and what's happening. We just did I was working with our Academy members, Jed, last week, and we were talking about current news, current trends. This pretty similar conversation, and we're talking about, you know, Ernest, where do you go to stay current? I said, are you kidding? Here are the 6 or 8 or 10 websites. Here are the people that I follow on Twitter, Facebook, e-newsletter. Here's how I kind of, and I walked them through, and they're like, wow, I mean, how do you drink in the ocean? I said, look, it's my job. If I'm going to coach advertising sales teams, I surely better be current on what's happening, including what we're talking about today. But it works in reverse. If you are going to be out selling ad space, you've got to be current. We all have to be current. The days of the magic carpet, right? Jed, I have three children. My youngest is a junior going to college in Minneapolis. He's going to work for the newspaper. He's going to be in their ad sales department for 12 weeks this summer. I had to sit down with him, Jed, and say, Now, Thomas, in the old days, when you worked at the newspaper, you sat at your desk, your feet were propped up, and the phone just rang all day, and you took orders. I said, it's changed a little bit. So, Jed, you know, right, in those days, it was literally a monopoly. Do you kind of remember the way rate card increases went down every January?
It was like,
here's your rate card. It went up 12%. Oh, and you want premium placement? That went up 18%. Do you remember those days, Jed?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's it was exciting. But you know, the thing that about Google in terms of being prepared. I mean, I think there's a couple aspects to it. There's the aspect of, you know, of knowing, you know, knowing enough about it to be able to essentially sell the service of helping them get their search engine marketing straight. But the other side of it is that in terms of selling print, is that you know it's important to know what's going on with Google because it's print's biggest competition. You know, it's everyone's biggest competition. And if you can speak intelligently about some of the downsides of pay-per-click, you know, it goes a long way towards getting people to look more closely at, you know, at what you're offering. You know, and believe me, there are lots of downsides to pay-per-click. So, you know, being able to talk about, you know, increase in prices or the absolutely incredibly bad close rate that search engine marketing produces, or, you know, when a sale is made, you know, how low the ticket price item is for many customers, really goes a long way towards making the core products of most publications look really good, because there's not an advertiser that I've ever met that isn't excited by the prospect of what AdWords offers. You know, it's such an alluring thing, right? It's sort of like I described my Christmas of, you know, or 10 or 15 years ago when I bought all these keywords. I mean, how can you go wrong? I mean, it's, you know, the price is relatively low and it's easy to set up, and you only pay if something happens, and, you know, and before you know it, you're spending real money. And unless you're able to show advertisers what, you know, and help them sort of through the thought process of what happens to that money, you know, what happens to those customers, what, you know, what is the real return on that investment, you know, it's a tough battle to win unless you're able to actually provide some data.
Mm-hmm. And what Jed is saying is, you know, those are the specifics. The data include everything from your Google Analytics, where you start to see what's coming in, which is a whole other conversation because Google is giving us less and less on that side. Then you back into email forms or the completion of forms and leads, email communication, phone communication, which Jed and their team at MediaBids know so much about. And then it's not just the phone communication and leads that come in, but then it's the conversion of those calls into what? Revenue events. All right, so it's all of those pieces all the way down the line. So let's shift gears, Jed. We'll talk about point number two, and let's talk about, and again, remember, this conversation is intended to be two parts. One is our own media website, what it is we're doing, and then remember, think about this through the filter of what advertisers are doing, okay? So, for example, we have a meeting with a group in Canada a little later today, and the prep that we did related to studying of their website, their social media, their SEO rankings, we took their website through a 30-point checklist, and then we went to a 22-point checklist on the social media, marketing, SEM, SEO competitors on the other side. Then you pause and say, holy smokes, you know, Ernest, you and your team, that's the kind of work that you do to dive in and out of websites. Yes. Now, you might pause and say, do I need that, you know, because I'm going out to sell an ad to a flower shop. You don't need it to that level of depth, but you do need it. You do need it, and you do want to understand the components, and the more you understand, the more successful you can be and will be. So let's talk about the seven keys for success related to the organic side, the natural search, okay? So we sort of think about this piece. The very first part means you've got to make certain that you understand the ever-changing keywords and phrases that are being utilized to find your website, your media solutions, okay? And to be current on that, and you have to match that up again with all of the research from Google on the other side and their ever-changing algorithms. Likewise, though, advertisers have to and need to do the same thing. According to Google, more than 30% of the searches every 90 days are new. So what that's telling us on the other side is there's this moving target for where you're being found versus what you think you're being found for. And that needs a comprehensive look, and so do advertisers on the other side of the house. Number two, in order to win from an SEO perspective, and for those of you that we work with your websites, there's 57 steps behind the scenes for SEO success. We'll go on to do other teleseminar programs related to that, but for the purpose of today, just recognize it's not a magic wand, it's not a carpet, it's a very, very complex model. And the other part of this is you cannot tilt the pinball machine. Do not think you can overplay Google, okay, for all kinds of reasons and all kinds of things. You can get your nose in a noose. Couple quick stories. We've worked with a client for years and years in Florida, and we were looking, they get, we generate a monthly report for them and then an internal weekly. And Jed, we were looking at a weekly report, and we said, what the heck happened? Where did their website go? 20 minutes later, we're into a conversation with the owner of the website to say, what's going on? What's going on? We're into the conversation, another 20 minutes, and he says, wait a minute. I launched a website a couple of months ago. You what? Oh, yeah, I launched another website. Here, let me show you. It was filled with duplicate content, duplicate photos. He had been blacklisted and removed from Google, and we spent 1 year black marked and had to do a second site, a mini site, for almost 12 months before Google would restore their site. So, you know the words, Jed, it's not nice to fool Mother Nature. Well, it's not nice to try to fool Google on the other side. I spoke to a gentleman in California probably 10 years ago. He said, look what I'm doing, Ernest. I bought 200 domains, and I'm launching all these little microsites, all these cities, and I'm bringing in all these leads, and I got all these revenue. And then I even can sit behind the scenes and make little tweaks here that change all the little websites. Today, you could never pull that off, Jed. You know, Google has done a good job figuring out what black hat websites and SEO looks like. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, I mean, there used to be the gimmick, right, where people would offer to put a link to your site on their site and vice versa, right? And that no longer works, right?
It no longer works. How about this? If you had a car dealership, okay, and I had one, you would say, gee, let me go link to the Chamber, I'll link to the Better Business Bureau, I'll link to all the banks in my city. Suddenly, you had all these links from your site and your automobile site out to 500 local businesses, and I only had 50, you won. You got better rankings, right? Just because, right. And then once I realized that you had 500, then I went and built 1,000 links from my site out to, you know, every flower shop in Toledo, even though I was selling cars, and Google gave me credit. You know, it's been this constant. It reminds me of like toothpaste, right? The toothpaste goes out the tube, and then Google puts it back in and resets the bar and puts the cap back on and says, okay, you know, cat and mouse, constantly between black hat and their algorithms. The bottom line is, to all of you, you do not want to ever tilt the pinball machine from that perspective. Number 3 of 7, your site. Your site must be whistle clean. We talk about this with our clients, and we want you to understand, whistle clean means when those electronic bots come through your site, they've got to be able to see and read everything. Whistle clean means no dust on your furniture. The old days, the site could be a little sloppy, a little outdated, coding errors, glitches, and challenges. No longer. That's just not even close related to that. Number 4. The whole world of reviews, the whole world of what's happening. If you put in your company name and then add the word reviews after it, you're going to see all kinds. You're going to see Google reviews, Yelp reviews, Expedia reviews, depending on the sector that you're in. The bottom line is reviews are social signals, and they're being utilized by Google to drive all kinds of rankings, data, authoritative or not. Okay, a couple of pieces just in general about reviews. Know what yours are being said about your media group and your media team and your media solutions, but in turn, cross back over. Every strategy we're talking about here, you take it out. If I'm going out to meet that law firm, guess what I'm going to do? Let me put in quotes, Myers & Myers Law Firm, comma, Toledo, which is where I am, reviews outside. Whoa, wait a minute. Hang on. Got 6 pages here, and there's nothing looking so good. I wonder if this law firm realizes what's going on the digital side, let alone the what that means from an advertising and marketing perspective, because on the digital side, they're not rocking. They're not pulling in any capacity. They got some problems there. Likewise, make certain you and your media group do not have issues on that side. Number 5, the Google Maps, and I'm just going to call it Maps because, Jed, they keep changing the name. It's this nonstop. It's the push pins. It's the maps. Everything you do that lines up with your website's got to be in sync with your map, starting with claiming it. Today it's called Google My Business. Okay, but the names have changed so much. I think we're into like the 10th iteration, Jed, about what's happening with those push pins and maps. But once again, have you claimed yours for your media group and company and team? You're like, oh, Ernest, come on, we did that years ago. Okay, cool. Have you? Here's the second part. When you put your company name in, maybe you did do it 5 years ago, but then, listen to this, Google came along and aggregated four more of these that maybe your agency did, you didn't realize. Maybe a former employer put up that you, or employee put up that maybe you didn't realize. And maybe Google went out on its own and wrongly or erroneously gathered up two more. You go, what the heck are these? So you need to go in and do what? Remove them. You need to remove them so Google doesn't think you have five map listings, which means you're up to be blacklisted potentially because you're overgaming the system and you didn't even do it. It wasn't even your fault. Once again, do the same for your advertisers. Do the same for your advertisers and see what those push pins show. Have they actually claimed it or not? Do they have five push pins? Have you shared that with them? See, we're media experts. And when we go out and share and showcase this kind of expertise, suddenly advertisers, ad buyers, ad agencies are eating out of our hand going, wow, Ernest, wow, Jed, you know more about what's going on than I do. Tell me more. Show me more. By the way, while we're talking about this, it's clear I need to be working with you and your media solutions. Why? Because you're on top of what's happening in the biz. So, Jed, this piece related to the maps and the push pins has been this ever-moving target. You know what I'm saying?
Right, and there's lots of, you know, there's so many little aspects to Google and I mean, you know, Ernest, I guess you know the question I would ask, and it's probably, you know, on the minds of a lot of people on the call, you know, how much is enough, right? Because you could spend all your time just worrying about this stuff. We're darn close to it, right? I mean, how much, you know, do you suggest, you know, you make these kinds of tweaks once a week, once a month, once a quarter? I mean, you know, how much do you think is enough?
Sure. You know what? That concludes today's teleseminar. We're putting the genie back in the bottle. We're throwing all our phones in the ocean, and off we go. So there's this. Let's do the get real. Let's field that question and that thought process. The get real piece is, it ain't going anywhere, meaning our digital right. world is not leaving us. So when you pull out your phone and say, gee, I want to go to that pizza restaurant, how do I book a reservation? Click, click. How do I call to see if they're still open? Click, click. Look, we all appreciate what technology is bringing us, and none of us are throwing our phones away. None of us are going back to a landline and where's my phone directory or phone book, okay? So it is here. To respond to that question, and Jed, your point is valid, someone needs to focus on it. On a weekly basis, someone. Now, here's the part about the someone. A, your team needs to know what needs to be done. B, you can hire college interns, okay, who are always looking for an opportunity to strengthen their resume, and they can deploy many strategies on a weekly basis so that you're not consuming executive time, salespeople's time, your marketing department, but it's like a conductor on stage. Someone's got to be on that stage saying, okay, I need a little more trombone and a little less saxophone. Someone's got to be choreographing what's going on, and then you can have college interns working behind the scenes on the actual implementation or keystroking. But you must have a master plan that succeeds. And then there's parts of SEO and SEM that can't be done internally, that sometimes you need an external resource because you need to stay even more current than just the day in, day out. So we can do a piece of it homegrown internally. We can draw external interns in and inexpensively deploy our strategies. And then there are some pieces, like we're going to talk about, related to pay-per-click and Google AdWords that have gotten very complex, and you want and need a team to help you on that side. So, Jed, you know, we can put the genie back in the bottle, but I don't think she's staying there very long.
Right. Yeah,
it's a challenge. Would you agree?
It's a daunting task. I mean, especially for a lot of publication companies who have websites that don't generate an enormous amount of revenue. You know, it's hard to know how much time and resources really to devote to that.
You're right. Look what I sent you 2 days ago from the New York Times. and the reset
right.
that they're doing, right? You know, so it is true. And by the way, 5 years ago, if you were the elephant in the room, if you were the New York Times, you were getting 2X or 3X the juice that, frankly, you didn't have to do as much work, but you got plenty of juice. I look back at the algorithm changes 2 years ago that Google made and removed 80% of the visibility, speaking of an elephant in the room, of eBay. 80% of eBay pages were lost because they were considered thin content. They had a page that said, you want to buy a hat, it's for the Yankees, buy it here, click here. There weren't 20 words on the page. And Google came right across saying, thin content, removed. So that's the other challenge. I mean, look what just went on with Facebook in the last couple of weeks about that conservative topics and trending topics were being monitored or were being removed, right? So Facebook in the last 2 weeks, you know, sort of made a big PR, you know, push to explain their algorithms, to explain how they do their trending, similar to what Twitter does as well. How are we trending? Where are the biggest and best topics, and who's deciding that? Is it all automated? Is there human intervention? Is the intervention crossing the line from a political or a focus? You know what? You know, those are the kinds of topics, Jed, that, you know, we're faced with. There's certainly a lot, you know, moving around. But let's be clear. In the old, 5 years ago, if you were the elephant, the New York Times in the room, you got extra credit. Today, you can compete with the New York Times if you are the ant in the room, if you're carefully following the strategies that we're talking about and giving it the weekly attention that it needs. Ants can outrun the elephant, which, Jed, back to your point, that you can be a small or medium-sized publication, website, e-newsletter. You can work in a small niche or niche, tight audience, and using short and long-tail keywords and focus, you can do very well in that category. Does that make sense?
Yep. No, I think you're, entirely right. I just, yeah, I only bring it up just to, because I imagine some people on the call are thinking that.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's skip to the third portion that we said that we'd cover, which is the strategies to win with Google AdWords. And, Jed, I love your Christmas story, by the way, because in those days, yes, it was so less complex. Today, incredibly more difficult and complex. So the strategies related to Google AdWords, you know, understanding, number one, the audience, the reach, your target. I mean, there's so much work to do on that side of the house. Number two, making certain you're not doing what we call bogus buys. You know, we'll get to working with a group, they want to make a media buy, and we ask, well, have you done this before? Oh, yeah, we've been doing it, and, you know, we buy most of our clicks at 10 and 15 cents. And we're going, 10 and 15 cents? You're in New York. Those buys are $5 to $8. There's a major disconnect. Well, here, let me send you over what we're doing. Let me show you. And, oh, it's like, okay, wait a minute. You're getting remnant. You're getting the garbage. Be so careful. Everything you do digital, SEO, social media, and also pay-per-click, be certain that you are not ending up in useless sites and in useless marketing and visibility. So when it sounds too good to be true at 10 and 15 cents, and we know and have seen the research, it's $5 and $8 a click, you stay tuned. You're getting what you're paying for, absolutely. Also, understanding, number three, you know, and measuring the search volumes, the search clicks. And then we also, you know, sort of have been bumping into the whole follow me ad piece that, you know, that's a whole nother strategy with generally lesser results. For those of you that have an interest in that, we can certainly talk offline, and we may do an upcoming program just focused on that. Number four, there is an art and science to the art of ad rotation in your pay-per-click. There are best practices related to this. We often also get asked the question, can I SEO my site for my competitor? Okay, so if there's, you know, two cookie stores, you know, in a town, you know, can you SEO your site for Mary's Cookies and your Bill's Cookies? No, you cannot do that. That is an absolute blacklist violation by Google. But can you buy the keywords for Mary's Cookies and tee those up and have those come to you? Yes, you can. So we always like to tee that piece up. It's a little tricky between that and those strategies as well. So Google also measures the quality of the clicks. So the quality of the clicks, the quality of the ad, and then the ad rotation itself is vital. We'll often start When we're working with our media clients, we might start with 3 or 4 or 5 campaigns. We'll study those, then we make adjustments, then we'll drop one or two at the bottom to improve the quantity and to improve the rotation. Again, the art and science. Now, when you're talking to agencies, these are the kinds of things that you want to be talking to them about. And when you talk to advertisers and you go down this path, their eyes are glazing over. They're going, what rotation? What quality of click? What adjustment of the ad campaigns? What is it you're talking about? And once again, as you're sharing those words, they're eating out of your hand. They're going, obviously, you know more. Hang on for a second. Bring me back to your media kit. Bring me back to the ad campaign. Bring me back, okay, because you know, I need your help. And that's really the spirit of today. On one level, you're intensely thinking about your own media site. And the other side, you're saying, but how do I parlay this with the agencies? And how do I talk to about this with ad buyers, okay? And for those of you that are, you know, selling in smaller markets or to smaller advertisers, you only have to use a little bit of this. And they go, you know what? Beats me. Tell me what I need to do, okay? For key decision makers and agencies, you got to sink your teeth in a little deeper for them to go, hang on, what did you just say about advertisement? Hang on, what did you say about the quality of my, hang on, you know, and the moment they disrupt you or interrupt you, we call that disruptive selling. The moment they interrupt you, you've won. That's the key. Those are the key signals, okay? And then one last piece, and then Jed will pause on this one, and that is, you know, you also have to think about not only just the ad itself, but then what page is that going to? So, for example, if your website is all about, you know, fruit, right? And you've got, you know, pages that you sell apples, oranges, bananas, and pineapples. If I click on something about, you know, a pay-per-click ad about pineapples, you bring me to the home page, I'm going to have to work too hard to find the pineapple page. So that ad for pineapples should go right to the pineapple page. Sounds obvious, but it's not always in pay-per-click. And then the message about pineapples, did I click on an ad because I want to grow pineapples or because I want to eat pineapples or I want to put pineapples in my upside-down cake? You know, so think about that as well on the other side, your site. Now take it a step further. Think about your conversations with ad agencies, key buyers, and those when you're out into the world, okay? Very, very important. The last piece is pay-per-click has this wonderful geo component. We've got clients that say, I only want clicks that come from the Middle East, we can do that. We've got clients who say, hey, when the temperature goes this high or this low, I want my ad to be seen or my ad to be removed, you know, because there's a temperature thing or there's a seasonal thing. So there's a lot of unbelievable intelligence layered behind the pay-per-click. And this is some version of when Jed said, hey, it was Christmas and I'm firing up all my clicks. Those days are sort of kind of over and have been because it's become majorly complex. You've got incredibly smart buyers, media groups, agencies, and companies at the table. And the world of pay-per-click, Google is, of course, unbelievably enjoying incredible profits and profitability from it. So, Jed, anything else to add related to those comments or observations? Or will I find you at the table this Christmas doing the same? Tell me.
No, I mean, I think, you know, I mean, you're right. I mean, one of the things that's true about Google, which you don't often hear about, is that the majority of their revenue comes from AdWords that are sold with a salesperson's assistance. So, you know, for any company that's spending, and I don't know what the threshold is, but I think it's pretty low, several thousand dollars a month or more, you know, they have a dedicated salesperson, and that salesperson is really guiding them or at least, you know, sort of making sure that they continue to buy. So it's this self-serve platform, which kind of sucks people in, but they do have an enormous sales force and really do a lot, sort of in almost a conventional sales manner.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right, and Jed, you've heard me say in past teleseminars, my daughter works at Google in their marketing department. She was home for Christmas going, Dad, what's that on your desk? Google My Business. That came from my team. I'm like, yeah, it is on my desk. So it is pretty funny. By the way, I don't have any secret sauce to Google because of that. But the point is that it was funny for her to say that to me. The point is that in the Google My Business, part of what she did share with me is that their focus is actually on smaller businesses and medium-sized businesses right now. So emails that are coming into us, direct postcards that are being mailed, offers to come skip in and go spend $50 because they're giving you $50. They are trying to drink the rest of the world. So, Jed, to your point, the big buyers and the large agencies are in, but now they want to take the, and go sell $10 of advertising to the other gabillion businesses that are out there. So remember, for those of us focused on the ad sales side, let's go back out and think about our advertisers. Your advertisers are getting that same kind of marketing from Google. Google My Business, come in, here's $50, go spend $50. To Jed's point, there's an enormous sales team behind the scenes. So look, we've got to know what's going on, which takes us to the next point. We've had a lot of questions and conversations about LinkedIn and Facebook, all right? LinkedIn, obviously the platform B2B, 400 million people around the world, and Facebook almost coming up on 2 billion connected on Facebook and the work that's going on there. So, you know, once again, we have to stay current with the emerging trends. Also, we have to recognize that between Google and Facebook, they're controlling about 50% of the media spend between the two. And then you've got LinkedIn about 2%. So 50, 52%-ish is happening around those three sources. And you have to think about your own website and who your audience is. If it is a B2B site, for example, if you are a business journal, you know, in Vancouver, then you pause and go, are there LinkedIn groups that have members that are in Vancouver that I might benefit from that exposure? That's a B2B. You wouldn't be in Facebook with a group of those who live in Vancouver because you wouldn't get the juice for that. Likewise, same conversation going on with your advertisers and your ad agencies. What are they doing? For example, if I'm in Vancouver, as a starting point, I'm going to join that group in Vancouver so that I can pay attention because I live in Vancouver. I'm a media expert, and I want to know who's in that group. Then I want to know who's buying ad campaigns. Wink, wink, you're looking at prospects. Then I want to know what the turnover of those campaigns are. Wink, wink. So when I go out and talk to advertisers and go, yeah, that's interesting, I've been tracking the Facebook group or the LinkedIn group, and there's been 246 advertisers in the last 246 days. What does it tell you? It comes in and goes out because the ad campaigns aren't sticking. You have to have that kind of knowledge from that perspective. In our case, we are continuing to talk to some of our clients about their marketing. We continue to watch what the case studies are related to LinkedIn and Facebook. Neither are going away on that side. And there's very much, you know, when we think about sort of Google, if I type and say that I need flowers in Toledo, that was my intent, and up comes the paid ads. Okay, that's advertising with intent. If I'm browsing a site, you know, about, you know, bed and breakfast in Croatia, and suddenly an ad pops up saying, do you want to buy flowers in Toledo? I'm not really focused on that. That's the advertising component. So there's the difference between ads that are contextually based versus ads that are intent based, and understanding the differences between the two. Okay, so the long and the short of it is, back to Jed's point, how much time do you spend on this? How much do you need to know about this? Well, we're in the ad media space, so therefore part of our job is to be intelligently aware of what's happening in the space. And every teleseminar that Jed and myself, we host and we bring to you, it's intended to add another layer of intelligence, another layer of, you know, skills, another level of awareness and trends. And that's what we do, is help you win. Okay, in MediaBid's case, they're directly helping you drive revenue and bring advertisers. What I love about MediaBids is they're putting ads in your print and in your publications that you wouldn't normally have, named advertisers, which lets you go get more named advertisers, and they let you take that space and convert it into revenue. And, of course, what we do here at Power Hour is we help you understand the trends, help you stay current with your media kits, your presentations, your agencies, and your ad buyers, and help you win on the other side. But there's not a magic carpet, and there's not an open sesame simple command. We are working harder than we've ever had to in the world of media ad sales space. Jed, some additional comments before we pause here at the top of the hour.
You know, I just, as you mentioned, you know, my perspective is really print and sort of how it compares to some of the issues that we talked about today. And I would encourage you, whether it's on your own website or whether it's on a client's website, I would encourage you to really do the best you can to try to interpret the data that's available through something like AdWords, because clicks really don't mean anything. You know, one of my pet peeves of publications is this sort of fuzzy number of readership, you know, which is some you know, depending on the mood of the person you're talking to, some multiple of the circulation that they're actually printing. Well, clicks are a lot like readership, you know, in the sense that they don't necessarily mean anything. They're a feel good number, which doesn't really relate to the real world. So, to the extent that you can track someone through a website, your own or someone else's, and really get a better idea of what's happening with the clicks and what those people are really ultimately doing. What sort of buying decisions are they making? You know, are they becoming long-term customers? You know, that's the kind of data which ultimately I think is as valuable as anything, because it allows you to really quantify what it is that you know, the money that's being spent. You know, everyone, you know, I run into it, I'm sure everyone on the call runs into it. You know, you don't talk to many advertisers these days who say to themselves, you know what, we were just talking about it, we've got to be in print, right? You know, most people are talking about, you know, we're going to try Facebook, we're going to try LinkedIn, we're going to try, you know, whatever the hot topic of the day is, and all of that is great, and they should be trying it. But by the same token, they're not necessarily working in the way that they had hoped, and you don't really know if they're working or not unless you take that extra time to analyze it. So I think there's great value in it, mm-hmm. but for both your website and your clients.
Yeah, and what Jed is talking about is fishing in Alaska, which means he doesn't want to talk about how many hooks in the water or how many nibbles you get. He wants to know how many fish you brought into the boat.
Right. Right.
That's
it's true.
It's all
and
about
it's,
fishing.
You know, right. So, you know, a lot of these, you know, I think that a lot of these tools are so cool, right? And some of the capabilities of things like Google are just, you know, unbelievable. They're awesome. But at the end of the day, right, it's still, to bring it back to print, right, you're still the ultimate metric is, you know, how much money did that, you know, are you getting from your advertising dollars? And, you know, if you can bring it back to that, there's a good story to tell.
Absolutely. Make no mistake. Jed and I are saying the same thing. We are not enamored with the new shiny bauble, but your agencies and ad buyers are paying attention to the new bauble. So that's where we have to bring the conversation back to Mother Earth, from the intergalactic. Let's get real. I mean, when Jed talks about the value of print, when he talks about agencies coming to him and say, hey, I'll give you $3 for a digital lead and I'll give you $23 for a print lead, there's a reason for that. And if you haven't heard him talk about that, go back to some of the prior teleseminars, it's all there. And about once a year, he rallies around and gathers that data, and I sit at the edge of my seat going, holy smoly, here it is. So make no mistake, today's conversation is not a love fest. Today's conversation is actually about a get real. Do understand what is going on. Do understand the Google My Business postcard that came in, you know, today to your flower shop you're trying to sell an ad to the law firm, the chiropractor, the realtor. I mean, you've got everybody looking for their piece of the pie. You have got to bring calm to the chaos. You've got to set apart the noise and the clutter and bring it back in to what is the get real moment, which has always been, I'll give you $1, give me $2 back in revenue. I'll give you $1, bring me $5 back in revenue. It's never, ever, ever changed in my 30-plus years around media, and Jed and I combine probably 50-plus years of media experience. It's never changed. This isn't a love fest today. This is an understanding about what's happening around us that we have to be aware of and therefore understand how to sell to it and sell into it. Okay, so Jed, I love the point of view and the sort of let's get you know, grounded before we wrap up today, because we are talking about exactly the same conversation. Okay?
Right.
All righty. Here we are, top of the hour. We promised 59 minutes and 58 seconds later we would wrap up. We want to be respectful of all of your days and times. We hope you have a fabulous day. Thank you so much for joining us here live. For those of you that are listening long after, thank you for listening to and being part of all the work that's happening at MediaBids. Go to their website, MediaBids.com. When you're working with them, they will drive you revenue. They will help you and your media group win. And if you'd like to come join us on our weekly academy every Tuesday, to powerhour.com and take a look at that. Jed, some closing words before we wrap up?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks everyone for joining us, and thank you, Ernest, for a for an enlightening hour. And we look forward to talking with you again soon.
Beautiful, Jed. Thank you so much. As always, more than 10 years of doing these, and a topic today we've never quite covered. we still have
right.
So much more.
Right.
Always a pleasure, Jed, and to each of you and all of you, make it a fabulous day. Take care.
Great. Thank you.